called Philemon in your New Testament. It's a great little book. By the way, we got that commemorative, the tape, the CD, the pen, the CD, the DVD, the bulletin, the bookmarker, and we're going to give that picture that they took in the morning. It's all going to be in a package. I see several have already signed up. $25. If you want one of those, we're just going to make them to order. So if you'd like one, sign up. There'll be $25 for the whole package. And you have a CD, a DVD of that. What a tremendous day we had that day, amen, on our 50th commemorative day. Jubilee Sunday, you have one of these, another pen, the bulletin. As long as I have the bulletins, I have about 50 of those, I think, left. So the first 50 people buy them, I think I've got enough to give one to each person. And the bulletins are commemorative, too. It's something you might want to keep and put back, and it's a special day. And what you call a keepsake. All righty, and then the profit from the money will have about $10 in it in cost. There'll be about a $15 profit, and all that money will go towards our Christian school. Kind of like a little Christian fundraiser for our school, amen? All righty. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the book of Philemon. Glad you're here tonight. Misty, you weren't here. Happy birthday, Misty. Wilson, God bless you. And glad the deacon's back with his family. Hey, Bobby Shell, amen. And all righty. If you look at the book of Philemon, look at verse 1. There's only one chapter. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon. Before I went to Bible college, I used to call it Philemon. I told Dr. Brooke, I said, "You sure that's not Philemon?" He said, "If you want to get an A, you better call it Philemon." I said, "Dr. Brooke, I believe it's Philemon all the way." Yeah. He said, "I'm the teacher. I'm saying it's Philemon." I said, "You know what? You're right, too. It is Philemon." Notice he said, "Unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Aphila and Archippus, our fellow soldier, to the church in thy house. Grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's bow our heads in prayer. I'm going to do expository preaching, so I'll read every one of these verses tonight as we preach. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this tremendous book. What a great book of Philemon that the Apostle Paul wrote, we believe, while he was in a Roman prison. And Lord, we're just so thankful that you recorded this for our benefit and for our blessing. I pray as we look at it tonight, Holy Spirit, please be in among us. And I pray that Christ will be magnified. Pray that I'd be a blessing, oh God. That's all I want to be, is a blessing. Help me be a blessing to all the hearers. Thank you for these people's faithfulness to come back. And dear God, I just pray that you'll bless them for coming to hear the Word of God. Bless our country. Help those that are home that cannot come because of illnesses. We're glad for Grandma Lemley to be here tonight. God bless her and Grandpa. And bless all our folks tonight, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is a tremendous book. It's a wonderful book. Young people, it's a book with great spiritual truth. I believe a lot of people might read this sometimes and might miss some of the truth that's lying right underneath it if they would just search it. And so tonight we're going to try to reveal some wonderful truth behind the book itself. There are three main characters in this book that it really focuses on. Of course, the Apostle Paul is one of them. Philemon, which would be another one. And a man named Onesimus. Now, all three of these men represent a spiritual truth and applications to our life and to them. For instance, the Apostle Paul, in his spiritual truth, he represents Jesus Christ. Philemon represents the God the Father. And Onesimus is the lost sinner, the runaway slave that gets saved. And, of course, he represents you and I. Amen? And so, we're gonna look at this tonight, and I hope that it's a blessing to you. Years ago, Dr. John Brooke taught me this wonderful little book, and it's one of my favorite little books. I preached from it. I preached at a BBF meeting. I preached this book and had a tremendous time with it years ago as a young preacher. Tonight, I'll just teach it to you. Notice, let's look at verse 1. Now, Paul is writing to Philemon about the runaway slave which he owned, which is called Onesimus. So let's look at verse 1, and let's just notice verse by verse what the Apostle Paul says here. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. By the way, Paul was a bond servant. He said, I'm a prisoner of Christ. In other words, he said, I belong to Christ. I'm owned by Christ. I'm a slave for Christ. I'm a bond servant. You know, we ought to be bond servants for Christ. We ought to say, Lord, we're your property. We'll follow you no matter where you want us to go, what you want us to do. Just lead us and guide us. And then notice what he says. And Timothy, that was one of his preacher boys, our beloved brother, our brother, and unto... Notice, Timothy's there with them, and they're writing to a man named Philemon. How many see that? And look at the description of Philemon. Our dearly beloved. So this man was a real special person, very friendly, very hospitable. He had great character that people looked up to him. And fellow laborer. So he was in the work of Christ. He served the Lord. And so Paul writing to them, and Philemon was a beloved fellow laborer. I question this. If someone was writing to us, would they consider and have the high regard for us like Paul did Philemon? Would they write that we had the characteristics? If someone was writing about you and I, as Paul is writing about Philemon, would they consider you and I as beloved? Would they consider, if people were writing about us, Annie, would they consider us as fellow laborers? How many could say amen? I hope they would. I hope that we could have that attributed to our life. I hope that's something that we would leave behind as a statement of our faith and walk with God. Amen? And so... He writes about this faithful man, this fellow laborer for Christ, Philemon. Notice verse 2. He says, and to our beloved Aphilia, we believe, I wouldn't get in an argument with anybody, I could be wrong, but we believe this is Philemon's wife, Aphilia. We believe that's his wife, and we believe Archippus could be his son. How many see that in verse 2? Now, if you don't believe that, that's all right. When we get to heaven, they can tell you I was right, and then you can understand it better. But I wouldn't, Eddie. This is something you don't draw straws on. You know, at doctrines, when we teach doctrine, we won't move a bit. But things when there's not a lot said. But we believe this is Philemon's wife and his son, and of course his son was a fellow soldier. And notice Philemon had it said to the church in thy house. So Philemon had this church in his house. He loved God so much, he had a church in his house. By the way, in the early churches, and you didn't have buildings like this. I don't think it might have been the third century, maybe fourth century, they started making buildings. But they met in houses in different places. And so we see that this wonderful man that was beloved and a fellow laborer named Philemon, he had, it looks, appears that he might have had a wife there and a son. and they had a church in their house. How many can see that? Say amen. And so, then look at verse 3. He said, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. It's a greeting. It's a salutation. Hello. How we say, hello, how you doing? Okay? And, of course, you that take in Romans, you know that preachers taught you on these. In all Paul's writings, every book that he writes, he mentions grace. Notice that verse 3. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. You just keep naming the books he wrote. Grace and peace, grace and peace. But he also wrote the pastoral epistles. All his books he opens up with this greeting of grace and peace. But there's three books, Grandma, that he also wrote, which we call the pastoral epistles, which is 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. And he added a word. He added grace, peace, and mercy. Because he knew the preachers. See, Titus and Timothy were preachers. And when he wrote grace, peace, and mercy in the pastoral epistles, he wrote it, Brother Bud, because he knew that the preachers were under attack by Satan and by the outward things of the world. And so preachers needed more than grace and peace. Preachers needed mercy also. You need to pray for your pastors. You need to pray for your associate pastors. Pray for those in authority, the deacons. Pray for men like that because they're. Pray for your church evangelists. I'm going to tell you, we're under attack. And we do need grace and peace. But, Roddy, even beyond that, we need mercy. And so, he has a greetings here in verse 3. And I noted question, when we greet people, do we bring grace and peace to them? I noted, are we known? How are we known? When we come, do we bring bitterness, criticism, and strife? Or do we bring grace and peace? When we come to people, are we known as peacemakers or troublemakers? We were with the family Thursday, Rose and I. They were here again this morning. We're working with this couple. They've come a long ways, and long ways to come yet. And part of their problem was he was with the wrong crowd. And we were there for about an hour and a half Thursday night, up to 9 o'clock or so with them. Got there at 7:30. And I'm purposing in my heart, we're going to get in every week. I'm going to be in someone's home. Hopefully, one or two people, families that come here. Every person that visits. Me and Rosie are personally going to be in every home, and this couple, they split up for a while. He got in some trouble, and it was with the couple. It was a reason because he was with the wrong crowd. I'm going to tell you, it makes a difference in your life who you run with. Don't run with the bad crowd. If you've got people that are critical and always want to stir things up, stay away from them. Don't stick around troublemakers. Preacher knows from being a kid. I wasn't saved, though. You can get in a lot of trouble being with troublemakers. Even if you don't do it, if you're with the people, you get involved. You get taken in. You become part of their fault. And so stay away from troublemakers. Stay away from those that will talk all the time. Find someone that really loves God. Find someone that really wants to praise God and talk good, not bad. Amen? And those are the kind of people you want to keep with. Stay with the right crowd. By the way, that goes for you adults, not just the kids. Many adults, they lose their marriages and their homes because you get with the wrong crowd. You start stopping off at the bar. Well, I'm just drinking Coca-Cola, preacher. Yeah, you just start drinking Coca-Cola at first. Eventually, though, they'll have you drinking beer. Eventually, you'll be gone. And eventually, I'll be talking to you and your wife because you're going to get a divorce. Stay away from those places of evil. Stay away from those places that would take you down. You know, you say, oh, they won't get me. I'm going to tell you, pride goes before the fall. Amen? And so, choose wisely. I hope that when I come, I come with grace and peace. Amen? And now look at verse 4. Look at what Paul said. Boy, what a great compliment, Tom. I thank my God. This is Apostle Paul talking. I thank my God making mention of thee always. Talking about Philemon. I thank my God making mention of thee always in my prayers. Man, do we really pray for other Christians? Paul prayed for other Christians. Do we pray for other Christians? Oh, we need to. I noted something. Do we really pray for other Christians? Do we pray for them continually? Paul said he always made mention of thee to God, always made mention in his prayers. Notice that verse 4. He make mention always in my prayer. And I thought about this, Annie. I wonder how much more difference I could make in people's life and how much you could make a difference in people's life if we would continually pray for one another. Not just one day, but if we would continually pray for our teenagers one by one, get their name, and for our seniors, and for everyone that comes to this church, pray for our families. You know, I wonder how much of a difference can we make if we would be like an Apostle Paul and continually, every day, call Steve and Jan Robinson's name out. Call the preacher's name out. Call Diane Tanner's name out and Dale. How much difference could we make if we would call every? I mean, really take our folks to God in prayer on a continual basis, not just once in a while. Amen. And I'm not just saying reading a piece of paper. I mean from our heart. Paul did that. Paul says, "I make mention of thee, Philemon, always." That means he was continually praying for him. Man, I'd like to have Paul praying for me every day, amen? How many like to have Paul praying for you? Well, I'd like to have you pray for me every day. I need your prayers. So does Rosie. She has to live with me. And so, pray. Actually, she needs grace and mercy and peace. Notice verse 5. And so is Jack Dollar, too. By the way, notice. Kidding. Just having fun. I'll have fun till they take my Harley Davidson away. Okay, here we go. Look at verse 5. Hearing, he said, now do I make mention and prayer for you, Philemon. I'm hearing of thy love. Philemon, I'm hearing about the love that you've sent out for Christ and your faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. He said, man, Philemon, you've got a tremendous testimony. Man, I hear everywhere I go, I hear about it. Just like you heard about this morning. Boy, you should have heard that message, you know. You were in super church. But the kids, and Philemon's work for God was known and spread abroad. Oh, there's a man there from Colossae named Philemon. And my, I'm telling you, that guy really loves God. He's got a church in his house, his wife and his son. And boy, he really loves God. He's a businessman. And boy, he really loves God. And in verse 5, do other Christians see love and faith demonstrate in our lives towards others? I truly hope they do see it in our lives. Amen? And look at verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Paul was saying, Philemon, I see Christ speaking through you in a great way. And others in your church. In other words, he said, you're leaving a great testimony. Your communication for Christ is really reaching out to others. You know, I wonder, Lizzie, do we have that communication? Do we have that testimony that Bethel's reaching out to others? Is the gospel getting sent forth from Bethel Baptist Church? Are we doing the work of God that God would be pleased for? I think we're trying to do it. Amen? And so, I know, do we have a Christ working in our life and through our life for the cause of Christ. Look at verse 7. This Philemon was a tremendous Christian man. He was a businessman. He owned, now I know you're not going to like this, but he owned slaves. Back then they had slaves. And it wasn't a different color than the colored people, but it was back then they had slaves back in his time. Are you with me? And they weren't of African descent, but it was people in that area. And it wasn't that he didn't love God, but back then they used people like that to do work and stuff. How many are still with me? And so notice in verse 7, Paul says to Philemon, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." In other words, man, these people going through his town, all the preachers come through here, and we take care of them, we try to be a blessing. He said, man, all these Christians and preachers are coming through, they're telling me how you're such a blessing to them as they go through your town. Well, I want to be a blessing to others when they come through, amen? And then look at verse 8, and it's starting to get down to the crux of what the real... Eddie, he's kind of buttering them up in the first 7 verses. Did you ever notice when your wife wants something, she kind of, "Hi, sweetie pie, hi, snookum, some," you know? And he's kind of like buttering them up the first 7 verses. And now he's getting down to the real, where he's really wanting to talk to him. Are you with me? Not that all those 7 verses are great, by the way. But did you notice how he was praising them and thanking them for the work of God? How many see that? He was complimenting them, not complaining. He was praising, not criticizing. How many see that in those first 7 verses? Now look at verse 8. "Wherefore," okay now, Philemon, "because though I might be much bold in Christ to join thee, that which is convenient." Boy, I'd like to come to you. Man, I'd like to be with you. I can't be with you right now, Philemon, but I'd sure like to be with you. I'd like to come right now and be right with you because you're such a great, loving, kind man and man with integrity and character, and it's so great to be with you. I'd like to, but I can't come right now. But look at verse 9. "Yet, for love's sake, I'd rather beseech thee, being such as one Paul the age, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." He's trying to say, Philemon, I need to talk to you. I need to share something with you, and I want you to remember now that I love the Lord, and I've been working for God, and we both have a common bond in Christ, and you and I are one in the sameness. We're one, we're sameness in one heart, one mind. Are you with me? The age, Paul. In other words, I'm not. This ain't a young. This is not a young novice preacher talking to you. Are you with me? Look at verse 10. Philemon, I beseech thee now, for my son Onesimus, which I've begotten in my bonds. Well, as you study this, you'll find out that, of course, Paul, this was not his son, blood son. It was a man that he led to Christ. And Onesimus, by the way, he was a runaway slave that was owned by Philemon. And what had happened earlier than this, Andy, Philemon, as we understand it, robbed Onesimus, the slave of Philemon, robbed Philemon. And then he went, got out of there. He fled. And as most runaway slaves fled back in that time, he fled to Rome. Well, no doubt he got in trouble in Rome because he ended up in jail. And guess who was in jail? The Apostle Paul. And while this no good, dirty, rotten rat, Onesimus, thievery, unprofitable slave, he meets the Apostle Paul. And there the Apostle Paul tells him about Jesus. And there this no good sinner, this no good, unprofitable slave who stole and cheated and lied and ran away, was disobedient to his master, was very unprofitable, cost his master everything. Here he trusts Christ as his Savior in jail. And Paul says in verse 10, I've begotten him in my bonds. In other words, Onesimus is my son in Christ. How many of you ever led someone to Christ? They're your spiritual son. And then look at verse 11. which in times past was to thee, Philemon, he was unprofitable. By the way, do you know what the word Onesimus means? Useful. You're right. The name Onesimus means useful. And which in times past was to thee unprofitable. But now, Philemon, this runaway slave of yours that was a crook and lied and cheated you and ran away and shamed you. I know he was unprofitable for you in the past, but now, look at Philemon, this Onesimus, now that he's saved, now that he's trusted Christ as his Savior, now he's profitable to thee and to me. Not only is he good for you, Philemon, but he's good for me too. Remember, Paul representing Jesus Christ, Philemon representing God the Father. Are you still with me, church? And what a great truth do you see there. He's saying there in verse 11, Philemon, I know this runaway slave Onesimus in times past was unprofitable to you. I know he went against you. I know he sinned against you. I know he ran away from you. But now, now that he's saved, he's probably, by the way, how many of us sinned against our Father? How many of us ran away from him? How many of us were unprofitable to the Father when we were lost? Amen? And this is a spiritual truth and application that he's trying to show you here. Even though this is a real truth that he's bringing this. He's restoring. The Apostle Paul is sending back this runaway slave. And he's restoring this slave back to his owner. Are you with me? The owner being Philemon. How many are still with the preacher? And he says, but I know in the times past he wasn't worth a dime. He just cost you. He was no good sinner. But now he's going to be profitable to you, Philemon. You're going to be pleased. You're going to be proud of him now. And now is he helpful? He's going to be helpful to you. he's good for me too. He's helping me. He's a big help here. As a matter of fact, if you'll notice, don't turn to it, but if you want to put a notation there, in Colossians 4:9, it talks about Onesimus, and it says, Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Colossians 4:9. Don't turn to it. But he had a testimony. Onesimus, after he got saved, had a testimony of being a faithful and a beloved brother. He really loved God. Isn't that great? I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Isn't that great? Well, look at verse 12 now. Whom I've sent, I'm sending them back to you. I can't be there myself right now, but I'm going to send him back to you because really he's your property. Are you with me? Whom I've sent again, thou therefore receive him that he's mine, own bowels. Now I'm sending him back to you, Philemon. This Onesimus, this runaway, no good, unprofitable slave. But now I don't want you to take him back as a slave, as unprofitable. I want you to take him back as he's my own blood. I want you to take him back like he's my own son. You see what it says there? Receive him that is in my own bowels. In other words, I want you to give him royal treatment. I know you love me. You and I are one together, Philemon, Paul said. And I want you to treat this runaway slave that once was with you. I want you to treat him now. I'm sending him back to you. But I want you to treat him now as a runaway slave. I want you to treat him just like he's my own blood. Are you with me? Like he's my own son. Whom, look at verse 13, whom I would have retained with me. I would have liked to keep him. I'll tell you, he was such a big help to me, I didn't want to get rid of him. I'd like to keep him here right with me. He's a big help. Whom I might have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But I don't want to do anything without your permission. Look at this. Look at verse 14. But without thy mind would I do nothing. I want to make sure that you and I are in agreements with this. That the benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. See, I want you to take them back, not because you have to take them back. I want you to take them back because you want to take them back. Amen? Willingly. You know, God, that's how God wants us to serve Him. In the ministry, it's hard to try to encourage people without putting them in bondage. It's the greatest pleasure a preacher sees is when people serve God willingly, not because they have to do it. When I was a young preacher, Eddie, I made all the deacons sign papers that they were going to tithe and be faithful in every service. And I made Sunday school teachers. And you know, I don't do that no more. You say, boy, you have you lost your convictions? No. I just think it's better when people serve out of a willing heart. I'd rather have people serve. I'd rather have not, if they don't want to have a willing heart, I'd rather have them not do it at all. Seriously. I'd rather have people do it from their heart. Because that's when God really blesses. You know? Like those girls, they did all that packaging. I came over, I thought, oh my lands, I forgot about all that school supplies. I was going to run over and try to put them together. They were already done. I didn't know you girls did it. God bless you girls for doing it. You know, but and different things and different people. It's already done, preacher. Praise God. You know, don't put people into bondage. Let people grow in grace and let them do as the Lord would lead them. Amen. Now, there's a difference from right and wrong. I'm not. There's times when, as far as spiritual like immorality and stuff like that, that you can't. But I'm talking about just serving God. How many are with me? And so, notice what he said there. I want you to take him back, and I want you to receive him as he's my very own blood-born child. And now look at verse 13, 14. But I didn't want to do this unless you were, but not of necessity, but willingly. Look at verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season. How many of us left God for a season when we were lost? We were far away from God. That thou shouldest receive him forever now. I know he left you. I know he brought shame to you. I know he was a no good blankety blank sinner. But you know what? Now he's coming back, but not for just a short time. He's coming back forever as a child of God. Look, he says in verse 16, so tremendous. Not now as a servant. I know he was a servant. I know you owned him. I know he was just an old vagabond slave that you had. But I don't want you to bring him back now as a servant, Philemon. But above a servant. You see, all of us were just a bunch of low-down, no-good sinners. Hello. But now, I was, Brother Jeff Riegert, I love Jeff Riegert. He was one of the fellows that came up yesterday. And he was a very faithful man. He still is, for that matter. There's still members there, and his children are there. But he came to our church for one whole year before he got saved. One whole year. And I brought in a big-time preacher, Dr. Jack Garner, who was just he looked like he came from the mafia. He was dark complexion, and he was just did you remember Jack Garner? Quote, he's what you call a power preacher. He was a dynamic preacher, quoted scripture all the time, and he was just, he just was a power preacher. And he's in heaven now. And we brought him in for a revival, and I remember Jeff Rieger getting saved. You know why Jeff was more faithful than most of the members there for that whole year. And I'd go and try to witness to Jeff, and I'd sit down in the Bible. Jeff didn't smoke. Jeff didn't cuss. Jeff didn't drink. And Jeff didn't chase women. He said, preacher, I don't know why I need to be saved. I don't sin. I said, you do sin, Jeff, and you're sinning right now, saying you don't. But Jeff could not see himself as a lost sinner. But one night he finally did. And boy, He came for us. Oh, I'm a sinner. I'm going to go to hell. Can you imagine that guy? And then I was a young kid. I mean, I thundered almost every message. That guy stayed underneath my preaching for a year, Eddie, before he got saved. I can't. That's a miracle. Amen. But that's how blinded to the truth. I mean, but he came every week. You know what? What we got to realize is we're just like Onesimus. You know, I'm glad. I think God's using my life somewhat now. But when I was lost and on Galena Street, I was very unprofitable. I'm hoping I'm doing something now for the glory of God. Amen. And I was just an old, no good sinner, Carl. But when Jesus saved me, he brought me to God and said, the Father, he said, okay, I know you know Rich Skyver. He's that runaway kid down on Galena Street causing all that havoc. But now I don't want you to look at him as an old, good, rotten sinner. I don't want you to look at him as a rebel, which I was, by the way. I want you to look at him like he's my own son. And I don't want you to look at him as an old, dirty, scumbag sinner. I want you to put him above that. Put him like he's family. Like he's part of just like he's the family of God. Are you with me? Now look what Paul said to Philemon. Verse 15, now Philemon, I know for perhaps he departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, though. I know he was a servant. He was your slave, and I know he served, and he was unprofitable. And I know that he was below you, but I don't want you to take him back like that anymore, because he's not that way no more. I want you to put him above a servant. But I want you to even put him above a servant. I want you to put him as a brother, beloved, especially to me. Philemon, I want you to cherish this Onesimus because he's special to me. You see, that's just what Jesus did for you and I. He talks to the Father. I want you to take Rich Skyver because Jesus said to the Father, Rich Skyver is special to me now. When you got saved, Danny, Jesus was your go-between you and the Father. And he said, Annie is very special to me. How many see this? It's so beautiful if you can see it. I hope you see it. It's not real hard if you just get into it. Not now as a servant, but what I'm trying to tell you, kids, is exactly what Paul's doing with Philemon is for Onesimus is exactly what Jesus did for us to God when we got saved. That's what I'm trying to show you. Look at verse 17. I'll just preach you a couple more verses and I'll stop. If thou count me therefore a partner, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Of course, they're both fellow, Paul and Philemon are both fellow laborers in Christ. Are you with me? Receive him as myself. Oh, boy. You mean to tell me you want me to take this old vagabond, no good, rotten slave that even stole from me and sinned against me and did all these things? Yes. And not that, I don't want you to take him back and just forgive him. I want you to forget that what he was. I want you to put him up on the plateau as he's your very own. A whole new standing. No longer where he was. Now he's risen above that, way above that. Now he's a brother beloved, Philemon, Heavenly Father. Amen? How many are still with me? Look, receive him as myself. Jesus says, Paul says, I want just like you, Philemon, just like you would receive me, that's how I want you to receive him. When you receive him, you're receiving me. That's what Jesus does for us, by the way. Amen? Look at verse 18. Philemon, if this no good runaway Onesimus, this runaway slave, if he wronged thee, and we know he did because he said that, and he owed thee aught, and we know he did, put that all on my account. Oh. Philemon, I'm going to pay for all his debt. Philemon, I'm going to pay for all his sins. Philemon, Father God, Father, just remember Jesus. Just put by his stripes we are healed. Calvary's cross, you could write Calvary right there at that verse. What a tremendous. I, Paul, verse 19, have written it. with my own hand, I will repay it. Hallelujah. That's exactly what our Savior did for us at Calvary's cross. He said, put it all on me. Put it all on me. Put it all on me. I'll pay for Rich Skyver. I'll pay for Tom Sailor. I'll pay for Eddie Sailor. Put it on me. I'll pay for all the whole world. Put it on me. Put it on me. Put it on me. And he did. And every one of your sins that you've committed in the past, today, and what you've committed in the future, what you're going to commit in the future, every one of them, Jesus has already paid for. He loved Annie. He loved Nat so much. And Tippy Brooke and Bailey Ray and Austie and Lukey so much. And all the kids here, Jimmy and all the kids, he went and they put nails in Jesus' hands, and he hung on the cross from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 6 hours, and he shed his blood. And there at Calvary, Jesus paid for all the sins of mankind, all mine and all yours. And that's what Paul said. This no good slave that's really caused a lot of trouble and really is unprofitable. But now he said, I'll pay for it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Amen? And so you see the beauty of what this whole thing is leading up. He's bringing them back. He's bringing them back. And I, Paul, have written this. Look, yea, brother. And he said, I'll do it my own self. You see that? I will repay it. Aren't you glad Jesus paid the price for you and I? Verse 19. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. In other words, let me joy in this. Oh, man, this is so great. Can you imagine when Christ, when he brings us unto the Father? Oh, my. Here's another blood-bought child. Another blood-bought child. I'll quit in 21. It's so great. Look at verse 21. Having confidence. I love this. Having confidence in thy obedience. I wrote unto thee. Knowing that thou wilt also do more than I ask. Not only do I believe you're going to do everything I'm asking you, Philemon, I think you're even going to take it even farther. You can do exceedingly above more than we ever ask or think. And that's exactly what Christ did for you and I. And so you see the beautiful picture there of that runaway slave Onesimus, which represents you and I. And then the Apostle Paul representing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who wins Onesimus and then brings him back to his owner, Philemon. And that which was separated, that which was taken, that ran away, is brought back and restored. And restored to a position of family. No longer a slave, but now profitable, a brother beloved. Preacher, that's a great book, isn't it? And I'm going to tell you right now, every time I read this book, it thrills my soul. Because that's exactly what Jesus did for you and me. And I hope every time you read this little book of Philemon, you'll see and you'll remember the truth beyond that book, how it pictures what your Savior Jesus did to bring you to God the Father. You're Onesimus, and it's Jesus that brought you to the Father, and it's Jesus that paid the price. Well, let's bow our heads in prayer. What a Savior, amen? By the way, Onesimus didn't deserve it. Onesimus, let's stand. Onesimus didn't deserve it. But he gave it to him. He gave him grace anyways. Let's sing Amazing Grace. I know that might not be an invitation, but I'm gonna sing it. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed before we sing, How many can say, preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I know I've asked Christ to save my soul. I was at Onesimus. I was lost, but now I'm saved. Could you raise that? I'm positive. I'm a child of God. I know it. Thank you. You may put them down. Would there be any tonight that say, preacher, I don't want to die in my sins. I don't want to die and go to hell. And I believe Jesus died for me, and I believe He arose, and I believe He can give me eternal life, and I'd like to trust Him as my Savior. I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for anyone like that tonight? Just raise your hand. I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand and put it back down. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know. Pray for me. Pray for me. Oh, there's a Savior in heaven that loves you. He came down from heaven to earth. Oh, and He died just for you. And He arose. And He's got great things ahead for you. Matter of fact, I want to close with this verse that I wrote on my paper. In a hurry to leave, I want to close in this verse. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it's written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Philemon, I know you're going to do what I ask, and you're going to do far more. Heavenly Father, I just thank You for this beautiful book.